By their fruit, you will know them. This is the final principle in the third and last message in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from Luke chapter 6, and I'm calling this one the fruit principle. The fruit principle. So again, it's a pretty simple idea that Jesus teaches to remind you and I the kind of person you are is exposed by how you act. So the kind of person you are is exposed by how you act. Whether good or bad, you cannot hide the fruit. So outside our back door at home is the pergola, and we have some mature vines on that. And with all the rain that happened this year, it produced an abundance of really nice, sweet grapes. They were extremely tasty. So this fall, on the warm Wednesdays, the junior high ministry went out. We gathered around the patio, and we had all the grapes that we could eat. It was delicious. So after 3 weeks of that, followed by flocks of robins that have been eating every morning, I was pretty sure that the grapes were about eaten up. However, after the frost last week and all the leaves fell off the grapevines, it exposed the reality, which was there are still huge clusters of grapes everywhere across that pergola. And that is the point that Jesus is making in this passage. Whether good or bad, you just can't hide the fruit. So in this message, I'm going to show you how to use this last rule to measure kingdom impact, and it's all about one simple question. And here it is. Here's the question. What does the fruit say? Here's what we've learned in the first two messages of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, how this kingdom of God operates. The first rule is the golden rule. So in review, I'm going to invite you to say this with me, this verse on the screen. The golden rule, do to others as you would like them to do to you. Now Jesus puts a twist on that, and he says in the kingdom of heaven's upside down way of living, this rule applies to your enemies as well. That means treating your enemies the way you would want them to treat you, and doing it without the expectation of being reciprocated. So living that way in this world requires that we trust God for a kingdom credit, remembering that your treasure is already waiting for you in heaven, and God will fully reward your obedience in living out the golden rule. So in week two, we learned about the measure principle. So read the next verse with me on the screen. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's right. So it's all about fulfilling the command to love your neighbor as yourself. And God gets the glory when you are acting like God's children by being merciful. So the best way to apply this measure principle in our lives is by using the speck rule. Jesus said, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. So in other words, deal with your own issues, right? First, deal with them, take care of them, and then help your neighbor with their issues. So you can find the golden rule and the measure principle in Luke chapter 6. So as you're reading them this week and seeking to apply them in your life, don't forget to check the fruit, which is the application of this third rule, which is the fruit rule. Jesus says it's pretty obvious what kind of tree you are. Check the fruit. If you're following in your Bible, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 43, or I invite you to read along with me in this next verse. This is the New Living Translation version. So if you would, again, read with me from the screen. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. A bad tree can't produce good fruit. So let me take you all the way back to the book of Genesis for this rule. See, when God created the heavens and the earth, he said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. So each tree created by God has a specific kind of fruit that produces a specific kind of seed. And the tree, according to God's design, makes fruit with seed in it that reproduces itself. So it can't make a different kind of fruit. It can't create a different kind of seed. It's the law of creation. Each tree produces, here it is, its own kind. Therefore, Jesus can confidently say a tree is identified by its fruit. That's right. So that may seem really simplistic, but I think the point is crystal clear. And I'm going to run through a little exercise with you to illustrate how clear this actually is. So as you see on the screen a fruit come up, I want you to shout out what kind of tree it identifies, okay? So here we go. Are you ready?
Apple.
There you go. Good job. An apple, right, represents an apple tree. How about the next one?
Orange.
An orange, right? An orange represents an orange tree. Okay, here's a little harder one. Ready? Yeah, well, good guess. It's actually a peach, so a peach represents a peach tree. Now, I'm really going to stump you. Here goes. Here comes. I heard it over here. Now, if you don't know what this is, you can actually look it up, and that fruit will identify the kind of tree it comes from. You know what kind of tree this is? It is the breadfruit tree. That's right, the breadfruit tree. Now, you can tell the tree by the fruit it produces. So this must be pretty important, even though it's pretty simple, pretty important because Jesus goes on making the point in verse 44. He says, figs are never gathered from thorn bushes. Grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. So in Jesus' culture, figs and grapes, these are valued staples for both food and for drink. And so these are examples to Jesus of good fruit, right? Grapes and figs. So brambles, however, and briars, which are just smaller thorn bushes, they're painful to come across. And in this example, they represent a bad tree. So good fruit, bad tree. Jesus says that the undesirable thorn bushes are not going to make good figs, and the painful brambles aren't going to make desirable grapes. It won't happen because it can't. If you're looking for good fruit, you won't find it on a bad tree. So the fruit rule is pretty simple. It says this: a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree produces good fruit. At Bethlehem Church, right here, we are committed to checking the fruit. So on Wednesday nights, the Abilities Ministry meets with 11 young adults and adults living with disabilities, and it's led by three committed leaders that gather everyone together right here at Bethlehem Church. So they eat a meal together with the groups. They celebrate in worship and share a Bible lesson. And finally, through all of that, they connect as friends in Christ by serving and doing life together. So where's the fruit in that? Well, let's check it. You can find the Abilities group serving in a rotation on Sunday for their church. You can find the group taking turns greeting guests as they come in out here. You find them celebrating with great joy and worship as we hear every Sunday. And some of them are becoming members of the church. One of them told me, I need to do my part. So belonging and connecting in Christ's community, they are discovering ways that they are gifted and way opportunities to serve with those gifts in the church, and they are witnessing to Christ's love. As Daniel, a group member, will freely tell anyone who's listening, Jesus is my best friend. Now, friends, that is good fruit. Another group on Wednesday nights is the Bible Blast for Kids group. That group is led by a group of caring adults who passionately teach the Bible to kids in all our communities. And they do it in creative ways every week. And these kids are hungry for God's Word. And they do what we are all encouraged to do, and that is they bring friends to hear God's Word. When the Bible story is told, the room gets silent. And kids listen. And when it comes time to pray, guess what? They do it. One week I was told that the kids were asked to listen in prayer and actually listen for what God might reveal. And when asked then what God said, one child said they had heard from God. And this is what they said. I heard God say, I need to be respectful. That's fruit. Really good fruit. So the senior high students, they came back from Unite East, the youth rally that they attended this summer, and they were changed by their experience. They have been fired up for following Jesus, and you might ask, well, where's the fruit? Well, this season, our students have made some difficult choices to sacrifice other activities on Wednesday nights in order to come to the group and grow together in their faith. That's evidence of good fruit. So let me share about one more group, the Fall Life group of adults that meets on Wednesday nights. It just keeps growing. I'm hearing such great things coming out of that group. Some of the participants are new to Bethlehem Church. Others are bringing their friends to be part of this and their neighbors. One person attending said, it's a great group. So people are hearing the word of God. They're encouraging and supporting each other. They're bringing others to belong and hear the good news. And that's what it looks like for followers of Jesus to make followers of Jesus. Is there fruit in this? Well, in all the things that are taking place so far this year, we have experienced a record number of baptisms from infants to adults. We have 12 people being baptized so far this year. So each of those are finding their home at Bethlehem Church. So how does it happen? Well, friends, when you are doing the Great Commission, it's good fruit. So what kind of tree are you? We can talk about the church, but Jesus always has a way when we engage the gospel of making it really personal. So this next verse, we're not talking about trees anymore. He's now directing the application to you and me. So Jesus teaches, he said, a good person, we're all good people, right? A good person produces good things from the treasure of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. A few chapters before this sermon that Jesus gave, John the Baptist preached a similarly clear message. He said, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Prove it, he says. So Jesus reminds his hearers that they can't hide the fruit. In the Gospel of Matthew, these verses are actually connected with a previous discussion that Jesus has critiquing the Pharisees and the religious leaders for their lack of genuine repentance, for their lack of actually turning to God. They say all the right things, but their life just doesn't show it. They may be fulfilling their religious duties, but they're never going to produce good things without a changed heart. So in Luke's gospel, Jesus addresses everyone who's listening this message for the people that are following him. So this question is for you and it's for me. Here's the question. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? A changed heart is reflected in good fruit. And good fruit is doing what Jesus says. So Jesus' brother James, he wrote to the church saying, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do. Say do. Do what it says. Do it. Jesus teaches his followers that obeying the golden rule means loving your enemies. Obeying the measure principle means that we don't condemn others. Instead, we have mercy on them. And it means believing what Jesus told his followers in John's gospel when he said, now that you know these things, you will be blessed. How? How will you be blessed? If you do them. Obedience is blessing. It bears good fruit. So I want to share a vision for you. It's for the whole church. And it includes many who are not yet here, who have not yet come. And this vision is for how it is becoming more and more evident that you are a good tree, that you are bearing good fruit out of your love for Jesus and his church. So I envision a growing hunger for God's word by people who have not yet heard it, just like kids in Bible Blast. And I envision people gathering around in every room and every space available in the church just to hear the teachings of Jesus. And I see them eager not only to hear but to share stories from that week of how God has been at work in their own lives, how the Holy Spirit has showed up and begun to change not just their lives but the lives of people around them in incredible ways. I have a vision for hearing how the power of the Holy Spirit is forming and shaping our communities in ways that we have really only dreamed about until now. And it all gains momentum through your obedience. Obedience to Jesus' teaching. And that just keeps bearing fruit. I have a vision that the sick are being healed, that the lame are walking, the lost are daily being found and finding their way into Christ's community. The hurting are being helped. The distraught are and grieving are being comforted. The fearful are finding a place. And the left out are being welcomed into the family of belonging. And the lonely are finding friends to journey with it alongside them in Christ. And the church here has been called a lighthouse. And I envision that that light of Christ is shining through it and reaching beyond our farms and towns with increasing clarity, pointing to the light of the world, to Jesus and the hope of a new life in Him with grace and hope and abundance and in a life that never ends in a new heaven and a new earth. And as you live into your calling to be the church in all of its glory, this fellowship will continue to grow and bear more and more fruit as a welcoming, vibrant, Christ-centered community connecting all generations to Jesus. So what will that be like? Jesus said in verse 47 of Luke 6, "I will show you what it is like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person who does the hard work of digging down and building a foundation upon the rock." It means that when the floodwaters come against that house, it will not fall because it is strong on its foundation. That's the outcome that allows you to be calm and to be peaceful, even though it seems like the world around us is in upheaval and chaos. You need not worry. Your house is set on a solid foundation of obedience to Jesus. There is another outcome in this parable, one of not doing what the Lord teaches. And it echoes the prophetic warning of the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 33. It really seems to fit the fruit rule. To the prophet Ezekiel, God says, "Son of man, your people talk about you in their houses and whisper about you at the doors. They say to each other, 'Come on, let's go hear the prophet tell us what the Lord is saying.' So my people come, pretending to be sincere, and sit before you. They listen to your words, but have no intention of doing what you say. Their mouths are full of lustful words. Their hearts seek only after money. You are very entertaining to them, like someone who sings love songs with a beautiful voice or plays fine music on an instrument. They hear what you say, but they don't act on it. But when all these terrible things happen to them, as they certainly will, then they will know a prophet has been among them." As the Son of God, Jesus certainly speaks with God's prophetic voice. And this is what he says in Luke 6. "But anyone who hears my words and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the flood sweeps down against that house, it will collapse in a heap of ruins." So Jesus is clear. He gives a parable of two outcomes for your life. They're both centered around obedience. One stands, one falls. Which foundation are you building on? Friends, check the fruit. Check the fruit. As I invite us to come to the communion table, it is an invitation by the Lord Himself to come and to gather, to be present as God's people. It is evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, of God's sacrifice for our sins, of repentance, and a new heart. This parable reminds us that good comes from a good heart. So as we come to the table, invite the Lord to create and recreate in you a new heart.